Hey, I'm glad to be here. Under the circumstances, I'm sorry for Brother Billy. Some of the things that I have been in over the years, I can remember my wife when her sister had back surgery. This has been years ago. We went over and seen her, but she was in her 30s, I guess, early 30s. And she had back surgery in Cincinnati, and it's not like it is now, nothing like it is now. Now they can do a little incision about this long, depends on how bad the back is, an incision about that long, and correct your spine. Isn't that a blessing they're able to do that? But like my wife's sister, when they did surgery on her, I'll never forget it, never to the day I die. The surgery, do you ladies ever move furniture? My wife don't do it no more, thank God. She's always moving the furniture. She'd move it around everywhere. And I always have to take her to a chiropractor. Well, Jane would do the same thing, her sister. But then when they did surgery on her, the next day I went to see her, the very next day after the surgery, and I want you to know she is walking down the hall. And I thought that was so amazing that they could do back surgery and then have you walking down the hall. I went and visited another lady that had back surgery. Guess what they did to her? They had her up walking down the stairwell, up and down the stairwell for rehabilitation the day after surgery. So now I'm thinking about Brother Billy. Maybe he'll whoop up on Chris. I know better than y'all do too. Vote on that right quick, because she'll kill him. I know better. But I'm honored to be here. I mean that. Got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up. Right, Ken? Okay, find you place in Luke, please, in chapter 17. My wife and I, we have been down to Western Kentucky, way down. I mean, she got to go with me. In fact, she goes with me all the time now, which I'm proud of that, thank the Lord. But we went down to Dawson Springs. That's way down to Dawson Springs, Kentucky. No sense me trying to tell you. But anyway, it's such a blessing. On Sunday night, the churches, Grace Baptist, they discontinued their services and brought all of their people over there. No, used to. That was a common thing for people to do that. But it's such a blessing to see all them people come together on Sunday night. This is a good crowd for Wednesday night. I bet Brother Billy would be real proud of you. Have y'all took lithium again? Valium? Prozac? Okay, Luke, please, chapter 17. Find your place. Look in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Now, in a few days, let me hear some. When is Thanksgiving? Here's a calendar. The 23rd? Is that when Thanksgiving is? Okay. What is today? The 7th, 8th, 9th? What's today? I don't even know. Okay, so we got 12 days, something like that, until Thanksgiving. All right. When I show you this, I hope it'll resonate in your heart to pick up on it. Now look with me, please, in Luke 17, verse 11. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now right quick, get your mind in gear. Samaritans and Jews didn't have no dealings together. None whatsoever, but the Bible says that Jesus went in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now look in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now notice now, he didn't touch them. They didn't come to where he was at. He did not touch them. He just says, go and show yourself to the priest. Look in verses 14. It came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Look in verse 17. Jesus answering said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto them, arise, go thy way. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I want you to pick up on it where it says, that save this stranger. I know you, Brother Billy's bound to have done this. Well, let me just stop. Turn back to the book of Leviticus right quick. I know that Brother Billy has covered this, but go to Leviticus, please, with me. If I tried my best to explain, to describe to you about this thing called leprosy, go to the book of Leviticus, please, and I want you to read this with me. In Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 14. Now, picture this in your mind. They were 10 lepers. All right, 9 of them were Jews, and 1 of them was a Samaritan. All right, now watch this. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 14, and I want you to watch this. Look in your Bible and write it somewhere on the file of your Bible. Where am I at? Chapter 14. Let me find my place. Back up. I'm sorry, it's chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. In the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purifying there, and 30 days she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then shall be unclean 2 weeks as in her separation. She shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. Now he's talking about a woman. Now, but look at verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she'll bring a lamb of the first year for the burnt offering and the young pigeon for a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the priest. Now here it is. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her? She shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. Now I want you to picture this. That woman could not go to the temple. She could not go. She was unclean. All right, the priest had to pronounce her clean before she could go. Now I want you to watch this. Just turn over one page. Now that was the woman. Look in chapter 13. Look in verses 40. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, boy, that I don't think I've got no leprosy. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he's bald, yet he is clean. He that hath his hair fallen off from that part of his head before his face, his forehead bald, yet he's clean. If there be in a bald head or a bald head forehead, a white reddish sore. That's what I want you to pick up on, a white reddish sore. Now, if a sore broke out on a man, he immediately had to go to the priest. Now, I want you to watch what happens. I'm trying to find verses 42. If there be in it a bald head or a bald forehead, a white reddish sore, it is leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it. Behold, if the rising of the sore be white and reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh. He's a leprous man. Do y'all see that? He's a leprous man. Immediately after that priest pronounced him with leprosy, he could never be with his family again. He could never go to the temple. He couldn't go there. In fact, they had to put him off in a leper colony. And normally when leprosy, and I'll go on and read it to you in a moment, as the thing progressed, their fingers would just fall off. I mean, the ends of their fingers would, sometimes their noses would just eat off. The top of their lip would be gone. And guess what? Their eyebrows and their so I seen one time in my lifetime, my wife and I was in New Guinea, and they had a colony there that, thank the Lord that it was the leprosy colony. Well, it wasn't contagious and they didn't let nobody around it. I'll never forget it the day I die. Some of you probably remember my boy Nathan. Remember my boy Nathan? I made some dumb things, I mean, wrong in my life, and this is one of them. When I look back over it, I don't think it was wrong. I just didn't have no sense. Mary, my wife, and Nathan, how old was he when we went? 12? Was he 10? Here we are, 23,000 miles. I can't speak a word of Melanesian pidgin, not a word. We were over there, and here we are in this great big city of people that all I was with was an interpreter. We're going down the street, and here was this man sitting there. The end of his nose was gone. His eyebrows was gone. He didn't have no facial hair, none whatsoever. And he had a little old can, and he was saying, he'd rattle that can. He had a few little old, whatever that money was. He was rattling that can like that to get our attention to give him money. Well, Brother Raymond Sorrells, myself, and the interpreter, as we was going down the street, all of a sudden I looked and Nathan wasn't with me. He is back there, and that man, sitting on the street, just squatted down in a squatted position. Nathan had some money in his pocket, and he gave that man everything he had in that can. Well, needless to say, that man was a real thankful, and he looked up at Nathan just grinning. Well, Nathan was only 10 years old. So Nathan caught up with us, and I asked Raymond, I said, what was wrong with that man? Here's what Raymond said. He's a leper. Well, my mind immediately went to this. In Leviticus chapter 14, my mind immediately went to that. I thought, then why in the name of heaven are we around a leper? And Raymond said, and that Manteca warrior that was with us, he said it's dried up. He said it's not a contagious leprosy. But I wish I could describe it in a way that y'all could understand. He didn't have no running sores, but I mean the end of his nose was gone and fingers was just stubs. And I don't know about his feet because I didn't get to see him. But if I go on and read it to you in Leviticus chapter 13, he's describing leprosy. All right, when you go up to Luke 17, there's 10 of them. Everybody got that picture in your mind? There's 10 of them, and only one of them is a Samaritan. Now, go back right quick. I know Billy's covered that. All right, now go back to Luke, please, chapter 17. Get a real good grip on your seat. Luke 17. All right, when Jesus entered into the village, a certain village, there met him these 10 men. That's in verse 12. Now get this if you would please. I can't find anywhere else in the Bible where Jesus ever went through that certain village again. How do you know that this may be the last time you ever sat in Jordan Baptist Church? You don't know that. Hey, I'm telling you, I know I preached this 30 years ago, and now that I find it's just happening at a rapidity that I can't keep up with. That Texas killing down there, that killing in Texas. Do you think them people went there that morning expecting a gunman to come in and just start shooting them? And I'm not trying to put fear in you. I wish you could put fear in you, but we ought to have a reverential fear of God. But that could easily happen to us. It could easily happen. But now let me show you this, but not without the knowledge of God. I mean, not without the knowledge of God. There's nothing that can happen to us without the knowledge of God. Amen. I've had my brother call me and ask me about, he said, can you explain, why would God permit some 26 people to be killed like that? And a 17-month-old child, a man like that has to be demented. Say amen. Demented, the same way that Brother Rick can be filled or I can be filled with the Spirit of God, stopper full. A lost person can be filled with demons. Filled with them. All right, if there's demons in the days of Christ, there's demons now, except they've honed their skills. Say amen. Amen. They've had almost some 2,000 years plus to hone their skills. Now, watch this. These men have got leprosy in their body. They stood afar off, and the Bible says they cried with a loud voice, and they said, have mercy on us. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, that's what you need. You need mercy, amen. You don't need justice. Amen. Now watch, I'm going to show it to you. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. Boy, that was strange when I read that. That's strange to me. Why would Jesus, the Son of God, not pronounce them clean, but he says, go show yourself to the priest? Well, the priest is the one that pronounced leprosy. These men were already lepers, and Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. Am I right? I think y'all's mother-in-law's moved in with you. Go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass as they went. All right, listen to this. So evidently they turned around and is going to the priest. Am I right? Am I right? All right. Evidently at the simple command of Christ, they're going to go show themselves to the priest. Am I right? Jesus had not touched them. He hadn't pronounced them clean. He just says, go show yourself to the priest. Everybody knows I love little babies. Everybody knows I love them. I love the smell of a little baby. What do you think those men's skin came like back to? Probably. I'd say so. Some of you women use all kinds of conditioner and everything in the world to make your skin soft. But a little old baby, I tell you, I every time I look at a baby, I see a miracle. Amen. I can eat their ears off. I mean, I don't mind telling you, I can eat their ears off. I love little babies. I love them. Now, I believe these men here were grown men living in a leper colony, but the Bible says they had leprosy. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Am I right? Go show yourself. And the Bible says their leprosy was cleansed. Amen. I've heard a lot of messages preached on where's the nine, but I want to preach on where's the one. Look in your Bible. Nine of them kept walking away. Am I right? They were 10 cleansed, and yet the one, the Samaritan, the very ones that the Jew would cleanse their throat and spit in front of that had no dealings with, he turned around, went back, and the Bible says he fell on his face. And the Bible says he gave thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Shoot, let me show you this now. Watch this. Watch. I'm back up to verses, look in verse 50. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, I bet he had a spell. Hey, look, if half your nose is gone and it come back, I bet you'd be thankful if somebody just give you a tooth.
That's how I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
Boy, your wife's not rough on you.
She beats on
Can I turn her in? Mm-hmm. Husband abuse. I got the evidence. Look at him. But what I'm saying is, Brother Rick, don't you think that man, that he, when he turned and saw that he was healed of the leprosy, right? Not your head. And it says he turned and went back and cried with a loud voice.
Amen.
Now watch this. Watch. The same thing Jesus done for you. If you really got truly birthed into the family of God, God heals you too. Yeah. Amen. Right. Leprosy is a type of sin. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Amen. Right. What I find is people today are not thankful. That's what I find. Now, where did the... I know the nine, they just kept going. Now, I want you to look, watch what happens. One of them cried with a loud voice, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Fell down on his face. Did y'all see that? And then at his feet giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were they not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? Now let me ask you. I don't know where the nine's at, but I can be the one. That's one thing I purpose in my heart and soul, that I can be a person that's filled with gratitude. And I admit, brother, I need help with that. I'm not always thankful, but I try to be. Amen. We have one day out of a year, and we don't even call it Thanksgiving Day. We call it Turkey Day. Look up here. Here's what I think. That's exactly what I think of that. You want me to say that again? Thanksgiving is more than a football game. And listen, we have a meal together. Amen, don't we? We have this. All the family gets together. Personally, I like Thanksgiving more than I do Christmas. But what I'm saying is, that's one day out of a year that we are supposedly, as a nation, give thanks unto God. Why don't we incorporate it in our life to be a thankful every day of our life? Did you know the Bible says in the book of Romans, if you read your Bible, it says, neither were they thankful. All right, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, what thanks can we render to God again for you? All right, Ephesians chapter 4, he says this, giving thanks unto God for everything. Let's go up there and get Brother Billy and say, Brother Billy, now you're going to have surgery. Am I right, Miss Beth? When's he going to have surgery? When? I wish I could talk to the nurse because I want him to inflict pain on him. No, I don't. There's nurses waiting on me in Noel Broughton to go to the hospital. But listen to me. Do you reckon, Brother Billy, if we went up there and said, Brother Billy, do you thank God to know you're going to have surgery when, Beth, Saturday or Sunday, whenever? How about asking my wife when they diagnosed her with cancer? It says, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. That's easy saying, but sometimes it's hard living. Amen. But notice in your Bible, this man was cleansed of the leprosy, and he turned and came back, glorified God, and fell on his face on the side of the road and gave thanks to the Lord. Yeah. Let me show you something, please. Look at your Bible. I'm going to try my best to slow down. Flip over to the book of Ephesians with me right quick, hurriedly. And I want you to write this. Keep your finger in the book of Luke. But I want you to write this on the flat of your Bible. Ephesians, chapter 4, I believe it is. Chapter, where am I find my place? I'll find it in just a minute. I want you to write this on fly leaf your Bible. All right, chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20, the first words. Say it with me. Giving thanks for what? Say it again. For all things. Do y'all see that? I can say it. Do y'all believe John 3:16? Everybody in here, their hand would go up. Everybody's hand would go up. But when I ask you, do you believe that verse? That's just as important as John 3, verse 16. But you see, as a saved person, as a saved indwelt by the Spirit of God, we ought to discipline ourselves and learn. Did you know thankfulness is not a part of our nature? What? My tie must be really be crooked. Thankfulness is not a part of our nature. Right. Miss Chris, do you remember how Beth and do you remember how you used to say it? Somebody give you kids a piece of money and you'd say thank you. And finally, they'd look reluctantly, they'd finally say thank you. After you'd done threatening their life, make them go to give it back. That's not a part of our nature. All right, but listen to me. I'm talking about people that are supposedly born again, saved, washed in the blood, named, wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life, attend church all the time, supposed to be growing the grace and knowledge. I'm saying if there's all of these millions of people in the United States that supposedly they're saved, why are they not taught thankfulness? Do you ever thank the Lord? I mean, do you ever just personally just thank the Lord? And what do you thank him for? What do you thank? It's hard to thank the Lord when you're going to have surgery. In fact, here's what some people do. They say, Lord, why me? Well, let me turn it around. Why not you? The Lord don't just choose everybody to suffer. I think there's a ministry of suffering that very few of us know anything about. But there's some things that I believe with all of my heart that we can discipline ourselves to be thankful for. Let me show it to you. What do y'all think? All right, we know that this man, we know the Samaritan, turned, fell on his face. If you look in your Bible, I'm back to the book of Luke, please, chapter 17. All right, he turned and fell back. He's already healed of his leprosy. He fell down on his face. Why did he do that? He fell down on his face, that's in verse 16, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Why on the side of the road, why did he fall at the feet of the Son of God? He was thankful, amen. Let me show it to you. Let me prove it to you. Look back in your Bible, back up if you would in verse 16, and giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. I got to put it in my mind. Do you ever thank God to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're saved? I mean, truly saved. There's a whole lot of things that comes with that thing. If you're really saved, there was a day in your life that you had a head-on collision with the Holy Ghost. All right, if you're really truly saved, there's a moment in your life when you come to the end of yourself and you trusted the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about something cold going up your spine. I do agree that if you realize what happened, if you really comprehend what happened, you ought to be a thankful person for your conversion. Right. Amen. Hey, look here. I never seen so many mixed up people in my life. There's people that are sitting on our church pews. Brother Donnie and I, he's been preaching a long time. He pastors Dawson Springs Baptist Temple. He and I was talking. He said, Brother Sisson, he said, do you find it this way? I said, I find it this way everywhere I go. He said, people have got no biblical convictions. There's something wrong if you don't have biblical convictions. You ask them, are they saved? Well, I hope I am. Boy, right here's one I know I'm saved, amen.
Right, that's good.
But I mean, if you really know you're saved, and beyond any shadow of doubt you're saved, you ought to thank the Lord for that, amen. Because there's untold people that don't. We was talking about how, he said, preacher, do you really reckon years ago when we made these statements, he said 2/3 of the people sitting on our church pews are lost? Well, I know this, there's got to be a counterfeit church here when Jesus comes and takes us out. And a counterfeit looks so much like the real thing. Folks, perk up now. Listen to me. I'm talking about if you're saved, you ought to thank God, amen, to know you're saved, amen. Amen. Right. Now, let me show you. Go back up. I want you to write this down. I believe you ought to thank God for your family, amen. Hey, glory. I believe every now and then you ought to just thank God not only for your earthly family, but your spiritual family. Right. I'm more closer to my brothers and sisters in the Lord than I am in my own family. My family don't understand me. Right. Most of them think I'm crazy. Which I know I am. I ain't got my check yet, but I'm working on it. But I'm saying, if you don't bow down and do what they do. You know, if you're opposing liquor and you oppose abortion, you're against drunks and against about everything. And you got biblical convictions, not just because your preacher says it, but because the Bible says it. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about biblical convictions. And if you're in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and you're growing in the Lord, they ought to have biblical convictions.
Right.
All right? They don't change every time that the fads change. Brother Billy, help me. I've never seen nothing like it. I'm talking about preferences, right. Not biblical convictions. I'm talking about men and women. Men are now, I want you to listen to this, men are now attending the houses of worship with these cut-off Levi's on. Can I ask y'all a question? Halftime. So make sure of this on, Greg. When Adam and Eve, when they made fig leaves and tried to cover themselves, am I right?
Correct.
And he covered them with fig leaves, right? Mm-hmm. And when God killed an animal, and it says he covered them with skins in Genesis 3:15, did he cover Adam and Eve? Say something to me. Sure he did. Well, now, for years and years and years, everybody got all bent out of shape and was always harping on the women. Harping on the women. Put clothes on. Right. I agree. But now watch the same trend today. Men, parenthesis. I never seen nothing like it. Unbutton a shirt down to their navels and put about 4 or 5 chains around their neck and one little hair blowing in the breeze and a pair of cut-off Levi's. Ain't that pitiful? Say amen. Right. My wife and I was in a church, so help me. We was in a church and the building was full, and that morning we'd had a real service. I mean a real service. In fact, I think 2 or 3 made professions of faith of Christ, and it was on Easter Sunday. Listen, ask my wife. We were standing in the vestibule, and a young girl came out with cut-off Levi's up here and this down to here. You'll never convince me that her mother didn't know she's coming to church that way.
Right.
Ooh, did I say that? Ooh. Now we got the kids telling the parents what to do.
Right.
You'll never convince me. The mother and daddy ought to say, get in there and put some clothes on. But in fact, I bet the mother probably bought them for her. She's trying to live her life out through her daughter. Did I say that? What I'm trying to get you to see, the Samaritan, the half-breed, the Bible says he fell on his face and he gave thanks unto the Lord. Well, I believe you ought to thank God for your family. Miss Chris, if you don't know by now that I love you and Brother Billy, but if you've never had to go get your daughter out of rehab or go see your daughter in jail or get your son out of jail or see your boy in rehab, you ought to thank God. Amen.
Right.
Everybody in here, if you got children that have been in jail, that's something to thank the Lord for.
That's right.
I know parents, it's absolutely, their kids is killing them. My daughter is a school teacher. And she's always telling me what's going on with these kids. Don't anybody ever think, she's talking about when they have Parent Day, or what do they call it, Mary? Parent Teacher Day? Is that what they call it? That the kids don't know who their parents are.
Right.
They're raised by their aunts, their uncles, their grandparents. All right, now think with me, what is going to happen if time goes by and them kids get mature enough to get out into the world? They've got no structure in their life.
Right.
All right, every little boy needs a daddy and mama. Amen.
Yes.
All right. They need to have principles about them and structure about them. If they don't get it at home, the world's going to bend them to that, the shape of the world.
Right.
We don't think about that. They're talking about that boy out there in Texas that killed them people. Here's the first thing they say. First thing they said, he had a bad child life, home life. Well, I do agree that affects us. But I wish somebody had told my mom, my grandpa, about child abuse. Amen.
Right.
We didn't come out too bad. I mean, when my teachers wore me out, my parents never threatened to sue the teachers. They said, whoop him again. But what I'm saying is, teachers today, if they can't discipline these children. They're not disciplined at home, so they're not disciplined at school. They got out in the world and there's no discipline in their life. I'm saying you ought to thank God for your family. You ought to thank God for your family. I got a funeral Saturday. Oh, I one time sometimes wonder in my life. But anyway, that's beside the point. And I thought they was talking about how the family is so fragmented and so dysfunctional. But let me show you now what I mean. All right, I believe you ought to thank God for your family. Will y'all say amen? Look at you about, and he gave thanks unto the Lord. I believe you ought to thank God for your home. The other day when it got cold, I can't take cold weather. Since I've had these heart problems, I can't take cold weather. If you see me out, I may be bundled up in a parka in it 80 degrees outside. No. But I can't stand cold weather. Used to, it didn't bother me, but I can't handle it. I told my wife, I said, isn't it wonderful to have a good, warm house? Right. Do y'all ever thank the Lord? Do you ever think like that? Yeah. Man, used to, you have to get up and build a fire. I bet you never done that in your life.
Never have.
I bet me and Porter has. Had an old warm morning stove and had linoleum rugs on the floor and it'd be so cold. Boy, you get ahead. The least of the young ones always had to get up and build a fire. Boy, you was hoping before you went to bed, the day next morning you got up, you was hoping there'd be some coals in that fire, in that stove. You'd open the bottom. Y'all see, y'all don't know nothing about it, but you put some kindling in, open the bottom, and do this. Boy, when your feet hit that coal linoleum, see, y'all don't know a thing about it, do you? Used to, my grandmother, it was nothing uncommon, two or three of us sleep in the same bed, and they put us in a feather bed. Y'all know what them are? They put you in a feather bed, just sleeping one. You ain't live, boy. Boy, this boy needs help, so help me, he needs help. But a feather bed, they put you in the thing. They didn't have all these mattresses and box springs and all that stuff. But they put you in a feather bed and they put a quilt on you. They say, you might get cold. Put another quilt on you. Put another quilt on you. All you could do is lay on your back and stick your face out like this. And your nose would be up there and it'd be about frozen to death. Because the houses wasn't insulated. They didn't have no triple windows and all that stuff. It was cold. You guys ought to thank God for a thermostat on the wall. Air conditioning, heat. Amen. I'll tell you something else. I believe this all my heart. This is what we're lacking in. Do you ever just thank God for your church?
Right. Yeah, it's good.
Do you realize how important a church is?
Amen.
A church is a protective hedge.
Right.
It'll keep you out of the divorce courts.
Right.
Let me back up. Let me put that on rewind. That is if you're applying what you hear.
That's good.
Let me say that again. What people do, Brother Billy's an excellent preacher. And he cares about you people. We hear, but we don't apply what he says. Right. We just take him for granted.
Right.
Amen, sister. Woo-hoo, I'm in the right vein tonight. Do you ever just, when I'm talking about a church, this building is just where we assemble ourselves.
Right.
But do you ever just thank God that you've got a, how about the piano player? You ever thank God for a good piano player? Song leader? Well, I could say Brother Rick, but. He won't lead to sing no specials. I'm just
They'd
kidding.
All leave.
But do you ever just thank God for each other? Yeah. Me and Chris were talking about it a moment ago before the service started. One of these days, you're not going to have these senior citizens. You're not going to have them. It'd be too late to go to them then. And I've thought about it over and over and over again. If we're not thankful by nature, then how do we obtain thankfulness? How do we obtain it? Brother Sisson, this man was on the side of the road, on his face, and he's giving thanks to the Son of God.
Amen.
I told a man the other day, I'll tell you when you'll really be glad for your mom. I'll tell you when you'll really be glad, thankful for your mom, is when you ain't got her.
Right.
That's when you're going to would to God you had could see you talk to your mom.
Right.
Or your dad. Amen. He's important. But the church is so important in your life. I see people, this is what, it kills me. It's killing me. I mean, it's literally drained the life out of me. They won't come on Sunday night, won't come on Wednesday night. And this is a good crowd. Thank God for you. We can't hardly get them to come on Sunday mornings. The Lord's Day don't mean nothing to them anymore. You ought to come to the house of God because your allegiance belongs to the Son of God. Amen.
Right.
And you ought to learn to worship the Son of God. Amen. Not just come in and sit down. Could I tell you something? What do y'all think when y'all see an old drunk? What do you think when you see an old drunk? Let me tell you what I think. Every time I see an old drunk or see somebody on drugs, I think it's only by the grace of God, it's not me.
That's
That's what I do. I've never forgot what garbage heap God dug me out of. Did you know that God told Israel, the first thing he told them says, beware lest thou forget. That's what he told the Israelites. Beware lest thou forget. That's what we've done. I don't think we intentionally do it, but I think we just get in a habit to where we just get in a routine and, Brother Sisson, I just got out of the habit. Y'all ever heard that? I just got out of the habit. Let's stop a minute, halftime. Was not our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they lived a far simpler life than we live, and they didn't have near as much as we have, but they were far more thankful people. Could that be the things in our life have snuffed out the thankfulness? Could that be? My wife and I, was it this morning on the news, there was a woman, I ain't got over this yet, there's an interviewing on the news, and she was talking, that woman said, you've got a 42,000 foot house, square foot house. I thought, what in the name of heaven does anybody need with a 42,000 square foot house and no husband? Lord, if you had that big a house, you could get on one end of it, each other, and you'd never find each other, so if you got up mad, when you found each other, you shouldn't get over it. But I'm saying, listen to me, what in the name of heaven, 42,000 square foot house? That's unbelievable. Think about it for a moment. I forget how many bedrooms she said you had. But anyway, what I'm thinking about is material things, is that what snuffed us out to where we're not a thankful people? Material things. Everybody's so busy. Amen. Right. When people are having Thanksgiving Day, they're trying to get the family together. I'll be honest with you, I just soon eat a bologna sandwich. And everybody be happy and content with each other. But everybody, their contention is just running rampant. Now go back, and I got to show you this. Hurry, look at your Bible. You ought to thank God for your family. Would y'all say amen? You ought to thank God for your friends. You ought to thank God for your house. You ought to just learn to say, God, thank you from the depths of my heart for being so good to me. Amen. For being so good to me. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Sisson, I thank the Lord I try to discipline myself to thank, Lord, I'm so glad you forgave me. I don't know if I've seen y'all. I was holding a revival meeting over to Crab Orchard. That's my hometown. Boy, every night the building be full. But I got so tired of everybody dragging my past up. 50-some years I've been gone from that place, and all of them come, and you're the meanest little old boy. That's all I heard all week long. You're the meanest little old boy. I heard that and heard that, and I thought, man, ain't my 50-some years of my life count for nothing? But see, that's the way we remember the bad things and not the good. But boy, I thank the Lord for forgiveness.
That's good.
I do. I honestly, sometimes I get so happy and jubilant in the Lord, just thanking the Lord I've been forgiven of all my sin. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Hey, I mean, do you ever thank God for your friends? Do you ever thank God to just know you're forgiven? Do you ever just thank God and say, Lord, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart for loving something like me. Yeah, hallelujah. And I believe this all my soul. I believe thankfulness, I believe, is a part of worship. Worship is adoration. Let me show you what I mean. Look in your Bible. He fell down on his face. Look in your Bible. You know, I get so vexed sometimes, these television preachers. Have y'all ever see them slay them in the spirit? Is anybody here at all? Slay them. S-L-A-Y in the spirit. They're coming to hit them on the forehead like that. And guess what? And these men, the ushers or whoever they are, walk around with towels on their arms, and then when a woman falls, they'll cover her up. Look up here at me. Everybody look at me. Anytime when you find anybody slayed in the spirit, it's never they fall backwards, they fall forward. They fall on their face. Oh, okay. That'll unfix you for some of this stuff that's on television, amen. Right. What I'm saying is, and I could go through and name all this stuff to you, but it says he was on his face or on the side of the road. Jesus was standing there, and look here, to my knowledge, he's never touched him as of yet, but he's been cleansed of the leprosy.
That's right.
Ain't that a blessing?
That's good.
Jesus has never touched him as of yet, and it says he turned around, came back, fell on his face, and the Bible says, watch this, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Boy, I believe the Bible, amen. Yeah. I may not understand all of it, but look in your Bible. He says he gave thanks. You know what I hope? I hope this happens. I never will forget Brother Billy and a whole bunch of us. Me and was over here. Porter probably was here. I can't remember everybody that was here. We were sitting down there in the basement back here, back there in the basement. And we'd taken a break. We was drinking a Coke or something. You know how I want to go to heaven? Anybody want to know? I want to trip over to RC's and drown in Pepsi. Be a good way to go to heaven. I love Pepsi. Oh, hush. I like RC too. But we was drinking a Coke or whatever. And I think Dave Howe was pulling wire. And we was putting in boxes and putting in just, and it hot. I mean, so hot. I mean, it was hot. And that's just one little tidbit. And I was thinking, look what God's given y'all. And if you're not careful, you'll just take it all for granted.
Right.
Shoot. Yeah, I was up in Owenton, Sparta, Kentucky, years ago. I was pastoring then. Every Friday and Saturday night, we go down. We're starting a mission there in Owenton. And we had this building, and it's so cold. You can't believe it. I preach with an overcoat on. Watch this, and when you can see your breath. And we'd knock on doors all day Saturday, and I'd preach on Saturday night and then go back on Sunday. And I mean, back at my church on Sunday. And I was thinking about, there's a work up there in Owenton as a result of all the people. And I think about all, what they've got, how God's blessed them. And I think if you're not very careful, you'll just take it all for granted and never just give him thanks for it. You ought to thank God that your home's not tore up.
Right.
You ought to thank God for your church, amen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to do? I hope when y'all have Thanksgiving, whenever it is, the 23rd or 24th, it says, and he gave him thanks. There's something in your heart you could thank the Lord for.
Amen.
Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Would you? Boy, you ought to thank God for your church. Boy, you ought to thank God for your conversion. You ought to thank God for that day that you came to the end of yourself and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's, Brother Porter's coming as we bow our heads just for a moment. How many of you in this building can say, Brother Sisson, unequivocally, I know I'm saved. I'm going to raise my hand to the Lord. I know I'm saved. Would you raise up real high? Thank God, amen. Well, surely to goodness, if you can raise your hand up there, you ought to thank God that you know that. Shoot. Boy, you're here tonight and you don't have that assurance. Would you let us pray for you? You'd say, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. I don't have that assurance. I want to ask you tonight. It says, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Always. You ought to come tonight and thank God for Brother Billy. He's not just a friend. He's a man of God. He's a pastor. He's been there for you when your children was born. He's been there when your babies. He's been there at your weddings. He's been there when you've been sick. You ought to thank God for Miss Chris. You ought to thank God for each other. It says he fell at his feet and gave thanks. Father, forgive me, Lord, where I've not been near as much filled with gratitude as I should be. Lord, I've got so much to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that in the next few days, Lord, when we get ready for Thanksgiving, God, even before then, may our hearts be touched and tenderized, thinking how good you've been to us. Lord, it'd be all right with me, Lord, if you just touched Brother Billy. God, he didn't even have to have that surgery. Lord, that'd be wonderful. But Lord, I pray tonight, everybody in here raise their hands. God, we got so much to thank you for. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him dying. Thank you that he didn't come off the cross. Please help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good, guys. Page 212.